booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, everybody. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frankie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you
doing? Why did E. Frank think, was it E. Frank who thought that I had to give the book back or somebody else?
No, it's a long story. I'll explain that off air. It was an allusion to the previous day's radio program.
I'm so confused.
But I would lend you a book anytime, Julia.
Thank you. I still have your hat, though. Is that
yes,
the issue?
Yes, I've noticed.
That's coming in tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
Yes. We have some weather to get to from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, of course. Today is going to be very warm compared to what we've been seeing, 89 degrees, and we'll have some sun and clouds, you know, kind of a mix. Tonight, we're going to start to see those showers come in. We should have some scattered showers and thunderstorms. We will probably have them, continue, I'm going to say, through Thursday, at least the thunderstorms. We may have little peaks of kind of calm, even the sun can come out. But pretty much our area is just going to get hit with thunderstorms over the next 2 days or so. By Friday, the thunderstorms seem to go away. We may have just showers here and there. But by Saturday, things are looking better. We still have some warm temperatures. We'll have about 83 degrees. But, okay, we can handle that. Sunday looks really nice, though. 82 degrees, lots of sun. So, I don't know. The next few days are going to be kind of mediocre, unfortunately. Definitely get ready for some rain to come in. Mm. 73 right now in New York City.
All right. Well, Olympic gold medalists will testify today before a Senate committee on the investigation into Larry Nassar. Well-known gymnasts, including Simone Biles and Ali Raisman, will go before the Senate Judiciary Committee to talk about the probe into Team USA's former disgraced doctor. Michaela Maroney and Maggie Nichols will also speak to lawmakers. Nassar was given a de facto life sentence for sexually assaulting many girls and women, including Biles. The director of the FBI will testify as well, and so will the Justice Department's Inspector General.
Well, I had a big notification, one of these emergency things that went off out in Huntington yesterday, talking about a huge, huge bust of the mob. I'm kind of wondering if you know any of these folks, Frank. You seem to have a lot of curious characters in your Rolodex. A lot of folks from the Long Island area took a hit, so to speak. The Columbos certainly did. The entire administrative structure of the syndicate, according to reports, was hit with a federal indictment Tuesday. Said something to do with a Queens labor union and infiltrating it. We're talking about several people, including some of the top people, including, Andrew Mush Russo. Excuse me. I think I'm getting the same thing you have, Frank.
Oh, boy. Don't blame me.
You know what I think it is? I think it is allergies, honestly.
You know, I wonder about the air conditioning that we're all exposed to and whether that leads people to, you know,
maybe
to
just
cough.
Going in and, you know, inside and outside.
Exactly.
Who knows? Well, I definitely know I have allergies, but they seem to have gone away. I'm sorry. My throat is going crazy right now. But anyway, so it's a huge bust. Were you familiar with any of these folks?
Yeah, well, familiar is, yes. Yeah, I'm familiar.
You know the names? Hang out with
them. I'm not acquainted with any of the 14 defendants that were, well, actually, I know one a little bit, but casually. So I wouldn't call any of the 14 indicted people a personal friend. That's right.
Okay.
I will tell you, Andrew Mush Russo, it was a funny story. Andrew Mush Russo, who's the boss of the Colombo crime family, supposedly, he had a court hearing about 11 years ago, and James Caan wrote a letter on his behalf, and Curtis had to – he – as he does, as you know, mocked both James Caan and Andrew Mush Russo on the radio for James Caan's advocacy for Andrew Russo. James Caan's lawyer sent a letter threatening to sue the radio station that Curtis was on at the time, and Curtis had to issue an apology to James Caan for his remarks over this. It was very funny.
Oh,
very funny.
That's lovely. In other news, as you heard Deb talking about earlier, just a few moments ago. Newsom is staying. The Democratic governor of California proclaimed victory last night around 9 o'clock local time. It was, of course, a recall election buoyed, I think, mostly by folks who were angry over California's strict COVID rules. And Newsom says he's humbled and he's ready to get back to work. And speaking of getting back to work, let's go over to Mr. Nolan with traffic on the 7th. Hey, Joe, good morning.
You should get a nurse over there or something. My goodness.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. As you begin to travel out onto the South Bend, New Jersey Turnpike, a couple of problems here. Down around 8A, there's a vehicle fire on the outer roadway. It's on the shoulder, so all lanes are open, but the inner roadway is closed, so all that traffic that would normally be on the outer is all, normally be on the inner is on the outer, and of course, you've got that vehicle fire. Inbound George Washington Bridge, upper level, disabled left lane at mid-span, and on the New York State Thruway northbound, getting up to 14B, an accident, that's in the left lane. Alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. This report, a service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/liberty. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Wait, did you hear about what's going on in this in the control room?
I saw.
There's drama. What happened? Matt, Molly?
I just got hit in the face with the door.
Accidentally.
Oh, no. My headphones aren't working, so I can't hear what's going on.
Oh, no. Oh, Matt Sapienza, did you see what happened?
No, yeah, I saw what happened. The engineer who's coming in for Bernie and Sid, they were coming to get the live reads that the hosts read. Mm-hmm. And on the way out, Molly accidentally got hit with the door. So Justin, who's the engineer, and I made sure that Molly was okay. And I just told Justin to run to the kitchen and get her an ice pack, and she's doing A-okay. She's looking great.
Are we talking
right now.
About like
and
black
and Justin?
Eye?
It was like my eyebrow. I think we're okay. Oh, Justin and I are friends. Everything is okay.
Yeah, Justin's a cool guy.
The best. Yeah, Justin.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're friends, it doesn't mitigate your head injury.
Well, I mean, you know, keep a careful eye on her.
No, yeah, absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
All right. All right, we have lots of other things to talk about. The wait is over. That was blasted all over Times Square last night. Finally, 18 months after the global pandemic shut us down, especially shut New York City down, the theater district. You had a digital marquee saying the wait is over. The theaters have opened up again. Broadway taking a big step forward. Three powerhouse shows, The Lion King, Hamilton, and Wicked, all opening up. I mean, these actors are just bouncing off the walls, so happy. They say that they have been itching to get back on stage after more than a year of waiting, and they are trusting the health experts to make the process safe. So, yay, congratulations.
What's the first show you're going to see?
I want to see, I think it's called Eight. It's the one about Henry VIII's wives.
Oh, that sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, I think it's called Eight or something like that. I don't know. But, yeah, it sounds good.
All right. Well, it looks like most people support President Biden's federal vaccine mandates. He ordered companies with at least 100 workers to require vaccinations or weekly testings. And now a new Axios poll puts the number supporting that at 60%. It also found a big majority of Democrats support the plan, along with most independents. Most Republicans oppose the policy. This comes as the nation now averages 170,000 new COVID cases every day.
Well, speaking of, we can press pause on the vaccine mandate here in New York. A Manhattan Supreme Court judge temporarily blocked City Hall's vaccine mandate for Department of Education workers. Judge Lawrence L. Love, showing no love to the vaccine mandate, he issued the TRO after multiple unions filed suit. The judge set a September 22nd date. That is when the unions have to go in and argue against the mandate. Until then, he says that the city is temporarily restrained from implementing that mandate. So here's the issue, though. The mandate requires that all staffers from the Department of Education have at least one vaccine dose by September 27th, or they face the axe. So, I mean, if this is delayed, I don't know. I don't know what people are going to do. But a City Hall spokesperson downplayed this whole thing. They say that based on the ruling, there is no delay in the mandate's implementation. And again, they feel that it will go into effect on September 27th, my birthday, as a matter of fact. Just a reminder.
Yeah, we got to figure out what we're doing for that. That'll be fun. The Wire actor.
Make me younger.
Michael K. Williams. You're eternally youthful.
Yes.
The Wire actor Michael K. Williams is now laying in his final resting place. Over 100 people gathered yesterday morning for Williams' funeral in downtown Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A number of celebrities attended the service at St. Stephen's Episcopal Cathedral, including Queen Latifah, creator of The Wire, David Simon, several co-stars of the show, and more. Williams was found dead of a suspected drug overdose in his Brooklyn, New York home on September 6th. He was 54 years old.
Oh, this just makes me so sad. He was such a nice guy and so talented. Also, very, very sad news. Norm Macdonald, who was, of course, one of my favorites on Saturday Night Live, great, great deadpan stand-up comic, he has also passed away. And apparently, this came as a shock to a lot of folks who had no idea that he had been battling cancer for nearly 10 years. You remember him from Weekend Update. And I didn't know this, but he actually got his big break when he went on Star Search. Remember that show hosted by Ed McMahon?
Ed McMahon, sure.
Yeah, back in 1990. He was big in Canada, which is his native country. And that is where he kind of made his bones and sort of created that sort of sarcastic delivery that he had that I loved so much. But again, unfortunately, he passed away with cancer. He was 61 years old. Such a huge loss. Great guy.
The organizer behind this weekend's Justice for J6 rally is asking attendees not to wear any pro-Trump clothing. The Saturday event aims to support people arrested during the January 6th attack on the Capitol by supporters of President Trump, hoping to overturn the 2020 election. Matt Brainard said anyone wearing pro-Trump clothing will be assumed to be an infiltrator, photographed, identified, and made famous. Brainard also asked would-be attendees not to wear any pro-Biden clothing. Authorities in D.C. are expecting around 700 people to show up.
700?
That's what they're saying.
That's it?
Hey, I don't know.
Okay. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the representative from our area, is getting a little slap on her wrist, or at least somebody wants to give her a slap on the wrist. A conservative group is asking the Office of Congressional Ethics to launch an investigation into AOC because of her appearance at Monday's Met Gala. Of course, she wore that gown that said tax the rich that one of our callers, one of your callers on the other side of midnight, apparently loved even more than J-Lo. And the reason that they're concerned about this is because she accepted free tickets. Apparently, this is a no-no. And, you know, this is an event where you have to pay $35,000 per ticket. She says that she was given the tickets as a representative, a politician, essentially. And Thomas Jones, the founder of the American Accountability Foundation, wrote in this complaint that he thinks that AOC broke house rules by accepting an impermissible gift of free tickets because he says the Met Gala doesn't count because the guest list is curated by a private company, which is, of course, the media giant Condé Nast.
5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. And here we go. Let's see what's happening in the wide world of sports. Aaron Judge started a five-homer barrage that backed Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees. They beat the Baltimore Orioles yesterday 7-2 to win consecutive games for the first time since September 1st and 3rd. Cole returned from left hamstring tightness that cut short his September 7th start against Toronto. He stranded the bases loaded in a 29-pitch first inning when he struck out Ramon Urias and allowed one run and four hits in five innings with seven strikeouts and three walks. He threw a total of 108 pitches. Judge hit a two-run homer in the first off a changeup from Alexander Wells. To Queens, where things were not looking good for the Mets, and Mundo Sosa hit the go-ahead single in a three-run 11th inning, and the hard-changing St. Louis Cardinals climbed all the way back into playoff position with a 7-6 victory over the Mets. New York scored twice in the bottom of the 11th and had two runners aboard when Kwang Hyung Kim retired pitch hitter Albert Almora Jr. for his second career save, ending a back-and-forth game that took 4 hours and 34 minutes. Ouch. Pitch hitter Andrew Kaiser delivered a two-run single to give the Cardinals needed breathing room as they shook off Javier Baez's tying homer in the ninth. Tyler O'Neill homered and drove in three runs for the streaking Cardinals, who vaulted into the second NL wildcard slot. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza, WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
5:17. Let's have a look at traffic with Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
And hello, Frank. Southbound Turnpike on that outer roadway. There was a car fire, vehicle fire down around the area of Interchange 8A. It's on the right shoulder. Now, the inner roadway is closed for construction, so as a result, you may see some really heavy delays right around that immediate area. Now, if you're inbound George Washington Bridge, the upper level, there was a stall up there. They've got that out of the way. New York State Thruway northbound at 14B. We have that accident in the left lane. That will continue. Mass Transit so far so good. Got a good look at that. It seems to be okay. And all in its out-of-the-street parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be in good shape. So we're off to a good start. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. We will check back with you very soon. In the meantime, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, you know I love cruising, whether it's a big ship, a small ship, or river cruise, whatever. I love being out there on the water. I'm going to tell you about an aspect of cruising that most people don't really know about. They're not really familiar with, but they should be. That's coming up at 5:40. Also, we have on this day, we're going to be covering Anne Boleyn. We're going to be covering schooling. So many things to talk about on this day.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
73 degrees at 5:20. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. The opening bell rings this morning following a down day on Wall Street. Despite a milder than expected inflation reading, stocks jumped at the open, but the major averages turned red in the first hour of trading. Financial shares, including Bank of America, slid, while General Electric pulled industrial stocks lower. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones fell 291 points, the S&P 500 lost 25, and the NASDAQ lost 67. Import and export prices for August headlines this morning's economic reports as analysts forecast a rise in both metrics. The numbers will be out at 8:30 this morning. August industrial production is due at 9:15 this morning.
Hey, Frank.
Yes?
I had a question about people living paycheck to paycheck. Are people living paycheck to paycheck these days?
I am going to tell you.
Oh.
In a moment.
Great.
Industrial production is expected to rise 0.5% over July and come in at 5% higher than August of 2020. Now, in terms of your question, Juliet, which is
Thank
a very
you.
Pertinent one, fewer Americans are living paycheck to paycheck despite the pandemic. That's the bottom line of a new survey by the American Payroll Association. It found that 63% of those polled saying they would be in financial difficulty if their pay were delayed for a week. That's down from 69% in last year's Getting Paid in America survey, taken in the first months of the pandemic. The survey of 22,000 individuals coincided with National Payroll Week, which was held last week. Juliet.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad you answered those questions. They were just really on my mind.
You're welcome.
Okay, I've been telling you guys about this weird story down in South Carolina. Remember a few months ago, Frank, you had the young man and his mom, very wealthy family. They come from this sort of legal dynasty in Charleston. The mom and the son are found murdered at their hunting lodge out in the South Carolina rural area. So they die. So then about, 3 weeks ago, the father of this family, Alex Murdaugh, is changing a tire on the side of the road, and he is shot by somebody in some drive-by. But he only has a grazing on his head. And so he says he's going to go into rehab to deal with some issues that he's been dealing with, and I guess he was so upset about his family. Well, the plot has just gotten wacko. Apparently, this South Carolina legal scion, Alex Murdaugh, orchestrated his own shooting.
Wow.
Yeah, police say it was a botched assisted suicide attempt, basically a scheme, so that his surviving son would be able to collect $10 million in life insurance payments. This is according to the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, or SLED. They confirmed this on Tuesday. An alleged accomplice in the scheme has been arrested after Murdaugh admitted to attempting to kill himself with the help of a hitman. Curtis Edward Smith, 61, he's the hitman. He was arrested, or the alleged hitman. He was arrested on charges of assisted suicide, assault and battery, pointing and presenting a firearm, and a whole bunch of other things, including insurance fraud and conspiracy. Smith is a former client of Murdaugh, who represented him in minor traffic matters, as well as a lawsuit that Smith had filed against a forest management company. Oh, my Lord. I mean,
wow.
Yikes.
Some story.
Yeah, but this Murdaugh guy is in trouble because he also apparently was engaging in some shady dealings with his former law firm. So, yeah, nice family you got there.
Tensions are ramping up on the Korean Peninsula after both North and South Korea tested ballistic missiles today. CNN reporting it started when North Korea fired two missiles into the waters off the east coast of the peninsula. Less than 3 hours later, South Korea fired a new submarine launch missile. South Korea's defense minister said the missile hit its target. South Korea has been picking up the pace of its weapons development to become less dependent on the U.S., and to counter North Korea's growing missile program.
Former President Donald Trump says the United States' top military officer was guilty of treason if he went behind his back and promised to warn China of an impending attack. Trump was responding to some revelations in a new book, pretty shocking revelations, that claim that General Mark Milley, who is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had called his Chinese counterpart last year twice over concerns that then President Trump was ready to go to war. And Trump says, if it's true, he said, it's hard to believe it, but if it's true and he did these things and advised them of an attack, or, you know, willing to advise them of some sort of attack or advance of an attack, that is treason. That is what he said to Sean Spicer on Newsmax.
Halsey is speaking out about skipping Monday's Met Gala. On Twitter, the singer, who uses either she or they pronouns, said she didn't go because she's still breastfeeding, and noted there's not really anything more American fashion than moms having to go back to work after just giving birth. The theme of this year's Met Gala was In America, a Lexicon of Fashion. When a fan pointed out Halsey had just gone to a party, she pointed out that the party was just 3 hours while the Met Gala was 9. She added, I don't know why I have to explain this.
Yeah, really.
Since then, the initial tweets have been deleted. Halsey said all she was trying to do was offer a gentle explanation, but admitted she probably shouldn't have brought up such a nuanced topic on Twitter.
Oh, how dare anybody have an opinion? Another strange story. It's from our area, too. Utah police have confirmed that the 22-year-old van life woman, as people are calling her, who is from Long Island, Gabby Petito, and her fiancé, Brian Laundry, were involved in some sort of altercation 2 weeks before Petito disappeared. Police say that apparently neither Petito or Laundry were the reporting parties, though. Laundry returned to his hometown in Florida. He has the van. He had the van that he shared with Petito. He hired a lawyer. He is refusing to talk, really, say much of anything. And apparently Petito's family was calling him, trying to find him, trying to find their daughter. And he wouldn't take calls. He wouldn't take texts, and neither would his family. She was last seen August 25th, checking out of a hotel room. Petito was reported missing by her mother on September 11th, 2 weeks after they had last spoken on the phone.
527, let's get a look at traffic and transit with Joe Nolan. How's it looking this morning, Joe?
Well, Frank, we've got ourselves a couple of things out here you need to know about. First of all, if you are going to be traveling out onto the Jersey Turnpike southbound the outer roadway at 8A, there is a vehicle fire. It's all off on the right shoulder. Again, that is causing some issues there. We also have delays as you travel out onto the inbound side of the George Washington Bridge on the upper level, and earlier disabled in the left lane right up at mid-span. New York State Thruway northbound at 14B, an accident one lane out. Mass Transit in pretty good shape at this point, and alternate side of the street parking rules again today are going to be in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. All right, coming up in your Jet Set Julia travel update, Christmas markets, famous authors, wine, cheese, gossip, castles, Marie Antoinette. All of this has to do with your Jet Set Julia report coming up at 5:40 on Cruising. So stay tuned for that, plus On This Day coming up as well. After Deb. Hi, Deb.
Morning, Julia. Well, Californians are waking up to the fact that Governor Gavin Newsom, yes, he is still unofficially their governor.
No is not the only thing that was expressed tonight. I want to focus on what we said yes to as a state. We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines. We said yes to ending this pandemic.
Results in Tuesday's recall election are unofficial. Well, an off-duty NYPD officer broke her leg after having to jump from the second floor of her apartment in Ozone Park, Queens yesterday as her husband fired shots at police using her service revolvers. The 39-year-old called cops after her husband started breaking things inside their apartment, telling police her husband had her weapons. The man finally surrendered to hostage negotiators. No charges announced yet. A grand jury has decided not to indict former NYPD officer David Afanador. He was charged with placing a man in an illegal chokehold. Now, investigators say before Ricky Bellevue's arrest, he actually had reached into a trash can to pull something out, asking the officer if he was scared. And shuttered for 18 months due to the viral pandemic, Broadway is back. The Lion King, Hamilton, Wicked, and Chicago raised the curtains yesterday. And that's your 77-second WABC News update. And Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center right now. 71 degrees, clear skies. I'm Deborah Valentine.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Joe. On this day, September 15th, 1514, England's Thomas Wolsey is appointed Archbishop of York. Now, this man would become King Henry VIII's right-hand man for many years, until he falls out of favor. Why? Well, Henry, of course, wanted help annulling his marriage to Queen Catherine of Aragon. So, of course, he could marry his mistress, Anne Boleyn, but Wolsey couldn't get the job done. So he was ousted, but he was called back later to answer charges of treason. But lucky for him, he croaked before reaching London.
Lucky indeed. On this day in 1949, The Lone Ranger premiered on ABC.
Oh, on this day, September 15th, 1616, the days of only the rich getting an education come to an end in Europe. On this day, the first free public school opened to kids in Frascati, Italy. Up until then, schools were reserved only for the offspring of the nobility and future priests. Now anyone could attend at no cost. St. Joseph Calasanz was the founder, and he dedicated his life to educating the poor, founding a Catholic order dedicated to education. The Piarists, or Piarists, as they were called, built schools across Europe, giving the world some of the most iconic figures, including French dramatist Victor Hugo, Spanish artist Francisco Goya, Austrian composers Franz Joseph Haydn and Franz Peter Schubert, as well as Nelson Mandela.
On this day in 1954, a blast of air from a vent on 51st Street and Lexington Avenue, a stone's throw away from where we are now, lifted Marilyn Monroe's dress while filming a scene for the film The 7-Year Itch.
I never knew it was there. 51st and Lex?
Yes.
Huh. All right.
You should reenact it. That'd be fun for one of your upcoming video podcasts.
Why not? On this day, September 15th, 1644, Cardinal Giambattista Pamphili of the powerful Roman family of the same name, Pamphili, becomes Pope Innocent X. If you visit Rome, by the way, the massive Palazzo Pamphili, or Pamphili Palace, still sits on the bottom of the southwest side of Piazza Navona. So you can go and visit it, and you can actually look up inside it and see some of the frescoes.
On this day in 1981, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee unanimously approved Sandra Day O'Connor for the U.S. Supreme Court. This would make her the first woman ever to become a justice on the Supreme Court. She served from 1981 until 2006.
On this day, September 15th, 1774, Yemelin Pugachev is captured. He was a disaffected Russian Imperial Army, lieutenant, who led a great rebellion against Empress Catherine the Great. 4 months later, though, he was taken to a square in Moscow, decapitated, drawn, and quartered.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
On this day in 1982, the first issue of USA Today was published.
Ah, yes. On this day, 1928, a Scottish doctor, Alexander Fleming, is studying influenza when he makes a shocking discovery after coming back to his lab at St. Mary's Hospital in London from a two-week vacation. A mold that stopped the growth of bacteria. He wasn't prepared for this. Today, we call it penicillin.
Hmm. On this day in 1997, Google.com was registered as a domain name. However, Google didn't launch its web page until a year later, on September 27th, 1998.
Oh, on my birthday.
That's right. What a birthday present.
Wow,
was for you.
I feel like I should get something from Google.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, maybe a free search.
Yeah. On this day, September 15th, 1938, Britain's prime minister visits Hitler at the Führer's summer retreat in the Bavarian Alps. We're talking about Neville Chamberlain. It would lead to two more meetings, which would end with the Munich Agreement, supposed to be an appeasement to prevent war. But we are talking about Hitler here, people. Today, many historians refer to it as the Munich Betrayal, as it essentially allowed Hitler to unleash World War II.
On this day in 2008, opening statements began in the armed robbery and kidnapping case involving former football star O.J. Simpson in Las Vegas. Simpson and his golfing buddy Clarence Stewart stood accused of burglary, armed robbery, coercion, and kidnapping after they allegedly stole memorabilia items from two dealers at the Palace Station Hotel in September 2007 with a group of men. Simpson was later convicted and sentenced to prison time.
Well, I would just like to say, on this day, 37 years ago, Prince Harry, Duke of Sussex, was born. My sweet little ginger, Prince Harry, happy birthday to you.
So, remind me, is that the older one or the younger one?
It's Prince Harry. He's the ginger. He's the one that's married to Meghan.
He's the younger.
The rebel. Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, that's all I have for today. Happy birthday to Prince Harry.
Yes, we should celebrate. What should we do?
I don't know. I'm just going to go on living my life.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fine. Okay, well, we've got a lot of other things happening. And let's go first, because we do have some really interesting biz buzz today from Frank. He told me about this earlier today, and I was freaking out. What are we talking about again?
I'm going to tell you about Apple unveiling new iPhones.
Oh, that's why I'm so excited. But first, let's head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan.
Well, we get a new problem. This one's up in Westchester County, guys, as you travel eastbound on 287 coming into the Hutch. Apparently a multi-vehicle accident on both sides of the road. There's a fuel spill involved. So, again, this might be there a little while. This is going to be eastbound on 287 right at the Hutch. An accident. Both sides are going to be blocked. Now, if you're traveling on the New York State Thruway northbound up at 14B Airmont Road, that left lane accident should be cleared by now. And, again, that vehicle fire southbound turnpike on the outer roadway at 8A still causing some delays. An alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations once again today are in effect. Mass Transit's good. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. Yesterday, a rough day, in spite of a pretty ominous start. Things did tick up a bit, but ultimately stocks all finished lower than they began the day with. The Dow down 291 points, the S&P 500 down 25 points, the NASDAQ down 67 points. Apple is taking the wraps off its new iPhone models. The company says iPhone 13 has a bigger battery and brighter screen and comes in two sizes, 5.4 and 6.1 inches. The iPhone 13 mini starts at $699, and the regular iPhone 13 starts at $799. The company also unveiled its iPhone 13 Pro, which has more features, with a starting price of $999. The new iPhones go on sale Friday, September 17th, and ship on Friday, September 24th. Amazon is looking to hire an additional 125,000 employees. The average wage would be $18 an hour. However, a $3,000 signing bonus will be offered at some locations. It's the latest effort by Amazon to hire more workers and provide for them in an increasingly competitive market. The Seattle-based company is looking to fill 40,000 tech and corporate positions. It's also covering tuition costs for employees starting in January of next year. Juliet?
Thank you very much. Franck. Let me take a sip of my drink here. This is driving me nuts. Mm. All right. If you've listened to this segment, Franck, you have probably become quite aware by now that I'm a huge fan of cruising. I love the big ships. I love the little guys. In fact, I took my mom on a European river vacation, river cruise, on Crystal Cruises back in 2016. We sailed down the Danube. We visited some of the most beautiful cities, including Vienna, Linz and Salzburg in Austria, Passau and Munich in Germany, even Bratislava, Slovakia, which was very cool. River cruises usually have roughly about 150 passengers, give or take, so it's intimate, and the small size allows you to see ports you wouldn't on the big ships. Today, I want to tell you about another aspect of river cruising that I just love, specialty and themed cruises. A themed cruise includes activities linked to a certain hobby. You could take over the entire ship, really. We actually took the 12-day Christmas Markets cruise, a specialty cruise. It was like something out of a fairy tale. Different lines have different options, and for the rest of the week, I'm going to be picking my favorites. We're going to start with Avalon Waterways. Now, this is a river cruise line based out of Europe. It's known for their great cabins and amazing food, among other things. They're also getting a lot of buzz for what they call their special interest cruises. One that stands out to me is the Storyteller series. These are centered around celebrity raconteurs, basically. You'll sail past hilltop castles along the Rhine River with Diana Gabaldone. You know her. She's the best-selling author of the Outlander novels, like as in Jamie and Claire. So she's going to be holding book signings and Q&A sessions and, you know, doing tours and things like that as you wind your way through Switzerland, Germany, France, and the Netherlands. That's on her Storyteller cruise. Are you a Sex and the City fanatic? Just in time for the upcoming Sex and the City spinoff on HBO Max, cruisers can gossip with author Candace Bushnell as you sail the Seine. Or how about a music-themed tour down the Rhine with singer-songwriter Edwin McCain? I love that song. I'll be. Nah, nah. Or even the band Sister Hazel. They have a Storyteller cruise. If you're a little more artsy, check out Avalon's photography cruises with award-winning nature and outdoor photographer Brenda Tharp. If you're more interested in looking rather than shooting, listen to this. For 6 months, once every 10 years, the Disney World of Horticulture, essentially, opens its doors. This year, it's this kind of six-month-long festival. It's held in the Netherlands. Everywhere you look will be a riot of colors, fragrance, and food, and Avalon has cruises especially catered to this. Speaking of food, cheese is the star, actually the co-star, on this particular Avalon cruise. You can sail to Europe's fabled vineyards on a wine cruise where you'll sit along the river sipping wine and sampling the best from the area's top cheesemongers. Now, if that's a little too bougie for you, you can book a beer cruise with stops in Belgium, the Netherlands, and Germany. Avalon also has a wonderful history series. You will literally feel the spirits of the heroes of World War II as you tour Normandy's beaches and the surrounding towns. Or, this is totally my speed, take a trip back to the 1700s as you hear about the legendary Habsburg dynasty, the royal family of doomed French queen, my girl, Marie Antoinette. Take your own waltz lesson, sip champagne in the same rooms Empress Maria Theresa once sat. That is a cool cruise. I would love that. Of course, these are just the special additions to the many offerings on a river cruise. You'll stop every day in a beautiful town where you can just meander or take a bike tour up into the hills or a walking tour of a nearby palace. The options are endless. And if you feel like just chilling out, you can just kick back in the lounge or on deck and just immerse yourself in the peaceful river vibe. And tomorrow, I'm going to tell you about some of my favorite themed cruises on some of the big ships. These are like the 80s cruises, you know, the biker cruises, that kind of stuff. There are some really unique ones. And they're really fun, and a lot of times people don't know about them. But you definitely should because, you know, hey, if you like this sort of thing, it could be a lot of fun. And by the way, just want to tell you a little bit more about river cruising. So again, they are small. And like I said, I was initially concerned when I went on this river cruise. I thought, oh my God, it's going to be a bunch of old people and me. Well, not that I'm not old, but older. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's going to be so boring. It was such a blast. You really have it's so much more luxurious and you feel like it's kind of your own private yacht. And you get to go into all these little nooks and crannies of Europe or wherever you're going that are not accessible by the big ships. So you get to see a lot more, but with less people around you. And also a lot of the excursions that are offered by these ships are really fantastic. I mean, Crystal Cruises was just exceptional. I could not ask for a better company, better treatment. It was wonderful. The food was out of this world. And we made some great friends, my mom and I did. We pretty much closed down the lounge every night with the entertainer on board, who was this great British guy. We just had a blast. So I would definitely recommend, if you guys are interested, head into the river cruise realm. Try it. See if you'll like it. I have a feeling you will. How was that for Jet Julia?
All right. Now, speaking of cruising, which you alluded to at the beginning, I know the CDC is advising people, especially older folks, not to cruise for the time being. Is that something that you see changing anytime soon?
Well, I mean, not until we get COVID under control. I mean, if people are going, you can still get it. If you are older and you have been vaccinated, I mean, anybody can still get it, but you know, the potential for having problems when you're vaccinated and you're older, or you're immunocompromised or something like that, those are, you know, it's obviously you amp up your risk. So I would say that that's probably going to stay consistent for a while.
All right. Well, yeah, I know a few people that I speak to were very disappointed. They recently just canceled some cruise plans they had for October that they were looking forward to. So
they were older?
I mean, they're in the 60s. Yeah.
I mean, they canceled it because of
the CDC guidance. Yeah.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, the big ships, they're doing a great job. I mean, I have to say, they really are doing a great job of keeping people safe and, you know, wiping things down. But you just never know. And remember, you're going out into the Bahamas and the Caribbean, and people start to drink and they forget, you know, they forget to take care of themselves. They forget to socially distance and all that business. So, I mean, if you're worried about it, I would be hesitant to go.
Energy giant Chevron is investing $10 billion in new low-carbon business initiatives. The money will cover projects through 2028 as energy producers are feeling more pressure to operate in ways that are climate-friendly. The investment is more than three times Chevron's previous commitment to reducing its carbon footprint.
And on that note, he has his own carbon footprint. He's our sports guy, Matt Sapienza. He's got a carbon footprint in the sports world.
Last I checked, last I looked at my shoe, yes. All right, let's see what's happening in the world of sports. Aaron Judge started a five-homer barrage that backed Garrett Cole, and the Yankees beat the Baltimore Orioles 7-2 to win consecutive games for the first time since September 1st and 3rd. Cole returned and left hamstring tightness that cut short a September 7th start against Toronto. He stranded the bases loaded in a 29-pitch first inning when he struck out Ramon Urias and allowed one run and four hits in five innings with seven strikeouts and three walks. He threw a total of 108 pitches. Judge hit a two-run homer in the first off a changeup from Alexander Wells. To Queens now, where things were not looking good for the Mets. Edmundo Sosa hit the go-ahead single on a three-run 11th inning, and the hard-changing St. Louis Cardinals climbed all the way back into playoff position with a 7-6 victory over the Mets. New York scored twice in the bottom of the 11th and had two runners aboard when Kwang Hyung Kim retired pinch hitter Albert Almora Jr. for his second career save, ending a back-and-forth game that took a total of 4.5 hours. Yee-ouch! Pinch hitter Andrew Knizer delivered a two-run single to give the Cardinals needed breathing room as they shook off Javier Baez's tying homer in the ninth. Tyler O'Neill, who homered and drove in three runs for the streaking Cardinals, vaulted into the second NL wildcard spot. And that's sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza, WABC Sports. You make it a great day. Back to you guys.
Oh, that's sweet of you, Matt. Is that your new little signature out?
As of right now, yes.
Oh, that's very cute. Let's go over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan. He makes it a great day every day.
Every day,
Joe.
Yeah, so let's go outside. We got a problem on the inner roadway southbound Jersey Turnpike. Again, all lanes are closed. That construction continues. It should be out of the way, though, very shortly. Inbound Gowanus BQE already, Industry City, all the way up to the Brooklyn Bridge. Again, that new pattern. If you're traveling on the eastbound side of 287 up in Westchester, this is the worst of it right now, right by the hutch. An accident. Both sides of the roadway are going to be blocked. There's a fuel spill. So a big deal here, eastbound on 287 coming coming on up to the hutch, you're only going to find the center lane, it sounds like, open. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield in Heart of America, helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NY Liberty. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on 77 WABC.
Hey, thank you very much, Joe. Were you an Alanis Morissette fan by chance?
Yes, I was. I like her a lot.
There's actually a new, it's a documentary about her life debuting on HBO in November. And apparently she sat for hours and hours of interviews for this documentary, but she says she is so upset that she's not supporting it. She said that she agreed to participate in it under the guise that it would celebrate the 25th anniversary of that Jagged Little Pill album.
Right, yeah.
But she said the interviews came during a vulnerable time for her. She was in her, I guess she was in postpartum depression during lockdown, and she said she was lulled into a false sense of security. And she says the salacious agenda of the filmmakers became apparent immediately upon my seeing the first cut of the film. So she is not happy about that.
Now I want to see
this. Which
makes
me really want to see it.
Yeah, I had no interest in seeing this before you said all that. That's great.
I am so interested in it. Well, I mean, I wonder if it's going to talk about all the stuff with the guy from Full House, you know, that drama. Remember that story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if it's getting into that kind of stuff. I don't know. But I can't wait for it. Sorry, Alanis. Love you. But all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sydney with a preview of what's happening on Bernie and Sid.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. James, whatever. What is the guy's name? I cannot remember his name for the life of me.
Jim Merkel.
Jim Merkel, that's right. And we've come up with a different name for him every day, or at least I have. Sorry, Jim.
Like the gag of calling him a different name.
I kind of like it, too. I kind of like it, too. Well, it's just because I can never remember Jim Merkel. I do remember Sid Rosenberg, but only because it's just Sid.
That's right.
Sid, as in Hollywood, as in Sid.
Right. Yeah. Even though my name is actually Sydney, but only a few people call me that. And usually they call me that when they're either, you ready for this? Talking about two extremes. When they're either really angry or they really love me. Sydney. Otherwise, I'm just Sid. There's some old fat Jewish guy sitting on a bench on Ocean Park with coleslaw falling from his mouth. That's basically me, you know.
That's funny.
Yes. Hump Day Wednesday, the day before the Day of Atonement. Yes, the holiest day of the year for my people all starts tonight.
So are you taking off tomorrow?
I am, of course. Kol Nidre, the legendary service tonight in Temple that kicks off the Yom Kippur. I hate calling it a holiday because I know my Jewish friends get angry with me. It's like the worst day ever.
It's a solemn holiday.
It's horrible. Let's just be honest. You can't eat. You can't have sex. You can't brush your teeth. You can't do anything but literally stand in shul all day and pray for forgiveness. And then I say this all the time. The reason why the Jewish people are so guilty is you do that all day today. They blow the shofar tonight. Now you're free. You're free of all your sins. Then you wake up tomorrow morning, or Friday morning, I should say. And if you sin again, there's no confessionals. Mm. There's no priest that tells
you,
wait a year. 40. Exactly. Mm. So you walk around with this guilt all year long. That's why the Jews are so guilty.
That's interesting. All right. Now I get it.
Yeah. So today we got a big show before my day off tomorrow. Peter King decided about 3 days ago. Now, I've got a bunch of people on every day, their own slots. Bill O'Reilly on Thursdays, Rich Lowry on Mondays. I've given Peter King his own slot, 7:40 Wednesday mornings. So today is the official start of the Peter King Show.
PK. We love him.
We do love him. Lauren Conlon will join us at 9:25.
LC.
And then this guy's become a good buddy of mine. I don't know how, but his name, you know who he is, Juliet, Chef David Burke.
I love him.
He's the man.
Great guy.
Some of the finest restaurants in New York, New Jersey. He's got a big cruise going on Yom Kippur. Of course, I can't be there, from Ventana's in Fort Lee tomorrow. But he's got a brand new restaurant opening in New Jersey next month. And
where?
It's in Woodbridge, I think. I'll give you the exact place. But it's going to be spectacular. Golf and food and all kinds of great things. So he'll be on at 9:05. And He's a nice guy and a famous guy. He's on TV all the time.
Oh, he's great. I interviewed him years ago, and he's very funny and so easy to talk to. Doesn't have any pretension at all.
Not at all. No, not at all. So there you have it. Peter King, Chef David Burke, Lauren Conlon. Plenty of sports. Plenty of stories about
the
big Jewish holiday.
Orchard Park?
No. Orchard Park is in Buffalo, isn't it?
Orchard Park by David Burke?
No.
Drift House by David Burke?
No, that's in Seabright.
Yeah, Red Horse by David Burke?
No, those are all in business now.
Ventanas?
That's in Fort Lee. That's where his big cruise leads from Thursday night.
Orchard Park is, let's see where Orchard Park is. That is...
You're going to have to listen now, 9:05 this morning, to find out exactly where the new restaurant is. And
East Brunswick, New Jersey.
No, that's already in business. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll just listen. We'll find out.
We'll have a big party there. Well, what is this big softball game on Saturday?
Well, we're gonna have a softball game in order to raise some money for the Stephen Siller's Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Is this a Frank Siller deal or your deal?
It's my deal, but all the money will go to Frank Siller. So why don't you play? It'll be fun.
Who's playing in this game?
Well, I'm playing.
Right, I love you.
Chad is playing.
I love him.
And a bunch of people you don't know.
Right.
I'm trying to get people.
It sounds terrible.
Well, if you come.
Right.
So Chad says, well, why don't you talk to Sid about getting some of the housewives to come there?
Oh, sure. Right.
Chad said, I'll get Rudy Giuliani to come.
Right.
Talk to Sid. He'll get the housewives to come.
I'll get them all.
Yeah. And how about it? What do you say?
Well, which housewives do you want?
I don't know. I don't know any of the housewives.
Okay. You know them all, by the way, through me. But
yeah, right. So do you want to play? It'll be fun.
Yes.
Okay, good.
But I can't guarantee I'm going to play.
Okay.
But,
God, do you want to play versus are you going to?
You see, Julia?
But, I see what you did there.
But I'll reach out to Dolores and all the girls today, too, and see if they can make it.
Well, don't go crazy. I'm afraid that the event might be getting a little bigger than I was prepared for the magnitude.
I can promise you this right now. 3 days before the event, it's not big.
Good, okay.
So if Dolores comes at the last second and or Sid, now it's bigger than it was before.
Perfect.
But it ain't going to make Page Six.
That's okay. That's okay.
You want Ramona from the New York Housewives?
Sure.
Ebony, what do you want? Where's John Tobacco?
John will probably be in attendance.
What about Vito Pacella?
I don't know.
Letitia Romero.
I don't know. We'll see.
Any one of the 9,000 people living in the witness protection program on Total Hill Road.
All right. So it's going to be an action-packed Bernie and Sid show. You got Pete King, David Burke. Is David Burke in studio?
He's not in studio.
Okay.
No one's in studio except for Lauren Conlon.
All right. Well, that's always
now. What you're supposed to do now on the way out is say, Sid, have an easy fast.
Oh, okay.
Have an easy fast.
Thank you, Juliet. You see, Juliet's all over.
Well, yes. She's much more down.
Did you not brush your teeth? Oh, well, this is tomorrow.
No, that's tomorrow. And by the way, I still brush my teeth and I still have sex, but anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't need to.
Maybe twice.
Okay. We don't need to. Thank you very much.
Anyway, happy Yom Kippur.
Bye.
Happy Yom Kippur.
We'll see you Friday.
All right. See, we get a nice education about Jewish culture on this show.
Yeah, I mean, and I should probably know these things now because my sister-in-law and my niece are Jewish.
Agreed.
Yeah, and my brother is converting.
All right, 5:57. Joe, you're not taking off for Yom Kippur tomorrow, are you?
No, I'll be here. No.
Oh, good. Okay.
No, I'll definitely be. Where is this softball game again?
It's on Staten Island.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he might go to that.
We'll see. Your son's getting married this weekend, huh?
Yeah, my stepson. Yeah.
Stepson.
So
okay.
Oh, how exciting.
Stepson's getting married on Saturday, yeah. That's why I feel bad for him. It's one of these things where they're going to do the ceremony now, and then they're doing the reception in the spring because of the COVID stuff.
Oh.
They were supposed to get married like a year ago.
Oh.
So I know. I feel so bad for him. They're not going to have like a regular wedding. But anyway.
Well, all right, here we go. The spring will be a rager.
Oh, I can't. Especially with all the drama. Oh, it's going to be great. 287 eastbound, just past the Hutch. An accident, fuel spill, guardrail damage, left lane going to be out on the westbound side. Accident off on the shoulder in the same spot. Tractor trailer involved in this thing. And again, it's just a mess. So again, as you travel out onto 287, we're going to have some problems just past the Hutch on the eastbound side. And apparently westbound is impacted as well. Mass transit looks to be pretty good. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Anthem Blue Cross or Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I'm sorry. Anthem is who I have. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield, the heart of America, are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more. EmpireBlue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, sir. And I just wanted to say the wife of the U.S. Marine who was killed in Kabul in that blast gave birth to a little girl, and she named the little girl Riley after her fallen dad.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's sad. Heartbreaking. Also nice. Yes,
exactly. All right. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, Frank.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Hope everybody has a great day.
Thank you.